That's where we're going to be, Revelation chapter 12. And I'm going to read a few verses here to open up this evening. It's good to be back downstairs in the hall. I know there's a bit of an echo here, so I'll make sure I don't go too fast so that I don't outrun the echo. But we're just going to open up with a few verses of Revelation 12. We'll pray. Then I want to give you a little bit of catch-up, a little reminder, if you will, of where we are in the book right now and that which we've looked at so far. Revelation 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. He drew, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. They should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him." Father, we thank you, dear Lord, again for the Wednesday evening Bible study. We thank you for all that has transpired in these Wednesday nights. Lord, we thank you for the faithful that are here tonight. Pray that you would open up their hearts and minds and understanding to the Holy Scripture. Pray, Father, that you please would continue to lead us and direct us in a great and wonderful way. Well, Lord, we thank you for the Wednesday morning Bible study, the completion of the book of Acts this morning. I just want to give you glory, honor, and praise, and just lift up the name of Christ, thanking you wonderfully for the work that you allowed us to perform in there and to complete. And I just pray that it has been a blessing to many souls, whether they're present or whether they hear it via the internet. I pray, dear God, that you would use it, Father, for your glory and your glory alone. So, Father, we bring honor, glory, and praise tonight to the name of Jesus Christ. We exalt his name. We exalt thy word, Lord, that we may draw closer toward thee. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. And amen. I told my children, I told my boys tonight, at least, Bailey always takes notes, she does a tremendous job, but I told them they need to be taking notes tonight, because there will be a test. There will be a test, and, like we do with the youth, with Lorraine's idea, maybe the test will come up and you'll get a sweet if you get the answer correct. Amen? So we've come to Revelation chapter 12, and again, we're talking about events that take place in the tribulation period. The time period of what we're going to see is 3.5 years. You'll notice that we read that in verse 6 of Revelation 12, where the woman is fed for 1,260 days. That's exactly how it was found in our last chapter, Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. Later on in this chapter, you're going to see, if you'll skip down to verse 14, and I'm just going to do a brief summary and kind of catch us up, a summary with a review this evening, before we get into a few of the verses or verse-by-verse study. You'll see in verse 14 that the Bible said to the woman, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished. Now notice this with me, for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. What you find here is this time is considered one unit, times, plural, is considered 2 units, and a half a time, obviously, is 1/2 of a unit, which makes 3.5, or, if we're looking at it like we are and understanding it clearly, 3.5 years. So, a time, times, and half a time is the same as 1,260 days, which equals 1,260 days, or 42 months, or 3.5 years. Those are all the same identical time periods. So what we're seeing here is a description of the events that take place in the latter half or the final half of the tribulation period. So far what you've learned in the book of Revelation, you've learned that Revelation contains four accounts of the tribulation period. Four accounts in the tribulation period. You've also learned that the book of Revelation is divided into three sections. It's chapters 1 through 3, chapters 4 through 19, and then the final chapters 20 through 22. You've learned that these three sections are broken apart dispensationally and correctly. They are the church age is pictured in Revelation 1 through 3. The tribulation period is pictured in chapters 4 through 19. And then the millennium and the new heavens and new earth are found in the remainder of the book, which is 20 through 22. You've learned this division to be reliable and to be accurate. And by learning this division, it helps you better divide correctly the precious word of truth, as we are encouraged to do by the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 2:15. One of the other things that you have learned early on in this is when we gave a description of Revelation, is you found out that heaven opens two times in the book of Revelation. Heaven opens in Revelation chapter 4, and it opens up in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 19. In chapter 4, somebody went up. Okay? Somebody went up. In Revelation 19, somebody comes down. Somebody comes down. John is told to write the book of Revelation in three separate tenses. Three separate tenses. That which he has seen, that which he was seeing, and that which God was going to yet show him. Now, what is interesting about that description and what makes it important to understand what John has seen, what he was seeing, and what God was going to show him, what is important to understand is where John was when he was writing that. Remember, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, okay? On the Lord's day. John is a picture of the church in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, being caught up the first time that we see heaven open. The Lord's Day, or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is when heaven opens the second time, Revelation chapter 19. So if John was in the Spirit in the Lord's Day, that which he has seen is going to be the church age, tribulation period, and other things. That which he is seeing is going to be certain judgments, millennial kingdom, end of the millennium. And then, of course, eternity will be that which he will see. So we've got to understand where he is. When the second coming of the Lord happens at the end of the tribulation period. So, if John is looking back, and we know that he is, he's looking back through the tribulation period and the church age. He's looking at the millennial kingdom, and yet he's looking, God is showing him what it's going to be in eternity with a new heaven, new earth. So that's what we need to understand. The tribulation takes place on this earth. It is a physical, literal, visible event that happens here. The Bible also calls this Daniel's 70th week. We know that Daniel prophesied that 70 weeks was appointed unto Israel to pay back unto God. 70 literal years they were in captivity to pay back to God the 70 sabbatical years that they forsook him, where they did not allow the land to lie alone and lay fallow. But 70 years, 70 times 7, because a prophetical year we understand, a prophetical week, I'm sorry, 1 week is a prophetical 7 physical years. So that's 7 times 70, which is 490, and that is the amount of years that Israel was not solely serving God in the right magnitude. So they owed God 490 literal years. 483 of those years have been fulfilled, and at the birth of Christ, that time clock was stopped because of what was getting ready to occur with this period in the church age. Church age did not start then. But the 483 years was fulfilled at that moment. And God said, I'm going to stop it. 7 years remained, which is called the 70th week. 69 prophetical weeks are fulfilled. 70th week is this tribulation period. It's also called the time of Jacob's trouble. It is two equal periods of 3.5 years or 42 months or 1260 days, if you will. So, the book of Revelation, and we've talked about this already. This is just a bit of a review. But the book of Revelation is four successive accounts of this event, of the tribulation period that takes place in these period of times. Just as we see the four Gospels recording the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are four accounts of the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. One of them ends in Revelation chapter 6. One of them ends in Revelation chapter 11. One of them ends in Revelation chapter 14. And the final account ends in Revelation chapter 19. So the first account of the tribulation period is under the figure of the seals. Okay, the seals. We've looked at that. This is the first account. Now, guys, I want to emphasize this because do not make the mistake of chronologizing the judgments that are occurring, because these judgments do overlap one another. They do overlap one another. So you will have seals that will overlap with vials that will overlap with trumpets. It may only be one, maybe two. There's a good chance on some of them that you're on the seventh seal, first or second vial, and first trumpet, sometimes at the same time. Remember in Revelation chapter 11, we saw that there was a great earthquake. Well, one of those are one of the judgments that occur, seals, vials, and trumpets that occur. And they tie in together. We'll look at that here later when we get into some of the other areas. So the first account is, and this is where people make the mistake. They see these seal judgments and they say, okay, it's going to be 1 through 7. And then they see these vial judgments and they go, okay, it's 1 through 7. Then they see these trumpet judgments go 1 through 7, and they believe they happen in a chronological order in that manner, and they don't see the successive events taking us through the tribulation period throughout the book. Once you get that here, you got it. Once you understand clearly that you're going back through the tribulation period again with a separate account of the same event in these judgments, it clicks. It clicks just like that. It's very simple. So, first account is the tribulation period is under the figure of the seals, and that's Revelation 4, through 6. The second account is under the figure of the trumpets, which is Revelation 7 through 11. Alright, 7 through 11. The third account of the tribulation period is discussed in the work and ministry of the Antichrist, of course. It's Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14. And the final account is under the figure of the vials, which is Revelation 16 through 19. That's the fourth account of the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. And it's under the vial judgments that it's speaking of in that point in time. So, I want to give you some odd facts and strange identities that we can look at that we've already learned, we've already studied, but I wanted to reiterate them tonight, and then we'll get into a few verses in Revelation chapter 12, and we'll close the Bible study tonight. I'm not going to keep you very, very long on the Bible study this evening. I want you to be able to soak this in. But these are things that we're just going to review that you've already learned and you already know. There is a post-tribulation rapture of tribulation saints. This is a biblical fact that is basically unknown and ignored by most premillennial scholars today. By most premillennial teachers, premillennial preachers, they completely overlook and ignore the fact that there is a post-tribulational rapture of tribulation saints. How they overlook it, I don't understand, but they do. Your colleagues, the average Joe on the street, your neighbor, whomever it may be, if you make that truth known unto them, if you mention that to them, they're going to go, they're not even going to believe it, and they're not going to understand. They just simply will not. I was in a conversation the other day, last night. We were up a little later than normal last night. A friend of mine from the States texted me, sent me a, he did not texted me, he texted me. Amen. He sent me a text, asked if I was still up. I said, yeah, for a few minutes. And he said he was having a conversation with a guy concerning the Olivet Discourse. And he said the guy just completely refused it. He goes, I showed him the scriptures, and I said, well, which one did you show him? You show him, you know, Matthew 25, Luke 19. What was it? And he told me all the ones that he showed. And he said, he didn't want to accept it, that there was a time coming, of that period, of what the Olivet Discourse teaches. So you're gonna, guys, you may get in conversations with people and you may try to teach them these things. People are not gonna want to accept it because they don't want to accept the fact, really, the literalness, if you will, of the Holy Scriptures, the validity of them. People have this idea that, well, if I don't know it, I'm not held accountable to it, and that's not true. Guys, we have been given a Bible that thousands of people have died for. We're going to be held accountable for all that is in there. Now, are you held accountable because of more you know? Yeah, that is true. Do I believe that little Johnny in the bush, he has one leaf of the Holy Scripture, he gets saved and born again, and he leaves the church for 10 years and wins thousands to the Lord, and only has a couple leaves of the Bible? Is he going to be held accountable for that which we have? No, he's not. But there again, we have access in the world today to the Holy Scriptures. The guy down the street has the same Bible I have. And he has the same 24 hours in every day to study it out and rightly divide the word of truth if they choose to do so. So, like I said, there's a lot of men, a lot of women that will deny this fact. And for whatever reason, I don't know, probably just because of what they've been taught. I do know this, people identify themselves with thinking they're going to go through this tribulation and they're going to be, you know, they're going to attack the Antichrist and they're going to lead the charge and they're going to be like Gideon and his 300. It ain't going to happen. It's going to be a slaughter, okay? It's going to be an absolute slaughter during the tribulation period. That will not happen at all. So, secondly, what you've learned that there is an element of works connected with salvation in the tribulation period. Please do not let anyone teach you any different than that. It is inherently different than that of the church age. It is almost unrecognizable than it is today. We are pre-tribulational. We are pre-millennial Christians. We believe that the rapture of the church is going to happen before the tribulation period starts. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit of God. The Antichrist cannot even be revealed until the Holy Spirit of God allows that when he's removed with us at the rapture or the catching away. You've also learned that Moses and Elijah are going to come again. They are going to be resurrected. They're going to come back. They're going to be the two witnesses to the Antichrist. They will be decapitated and they will come back to life again and be resurrected. And that is that tribulational rapture we're speaking of. speaking of with the martyrs when they rise yet again also. And remember this, guys. I brought this up to you. I think it was last week or maybe the week before. That tribulation rapture, one of the grave differences of it is that it's public and it's seen by all. Whereas the rapture, the harvest of the bride of Christ, the catching away of the bride of Christ, as we read about in 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 4, 1, that is something that happens in the twinkling of an eye. That is something that happens in 0.1 to the negative 45th power of a second. That ain't seen by everyone. It happens so quick, you know, that it's unexplainable. I do believe a massive thunderclap and probably the shaking of the earth is going to be felt. Our clothes are not going to be left. I personally am one of the ones that believe that our blood is not going to make it. Now, whether that blood is disintegrator or where it's a pile of, you know, mess in our clothes, our gold teeth aren't going, okay? Our jewelry's not going. My contacts are not going. None of that stuff's going. It's bye, you know? But it is so quick, it's not something that's seen by all. Whereas when the two witnesses are raised back and the tribulational saints, that is something that is seen and witnessed by the entire world at the end of the tribulation period. Saved people of the tribulation and the millennium, they will be at the great white throne judgment. That is another point and fact that people just do not teach today. I've heard it preached for years on end. I had to do my own study, my own research, and I had to reconcile Revelation chapter 11, verse 18, essentially on my own, and even showing people the black and white scriptures of what is occurring, showing the time frame, when the nations were angry, and what judgment they're at, and it clearly says rewards. I still had people say, well, I believe that's just metaphorical. I believe that's just allegorizing. That's just a metaphor for what's coming. I said, no, it's a time placement. It's what it is. And it all stems on understanding the four counts that are given in the Holy Scriptures, that are given in the book of Revelation, and putting them in the proper place. So, Revelation 12 is where we are. During the tribulation period, which we need to remember, is directed toward Israel. The times of the Gentiles have ended with the church age, and the Lord is now directing His attention once again to the nation of Israel. Salvation in the tribulation period, we've already determined, is faith and works. So in order for a soul to be saved, if you will, if you want to call it that, is to be under the similitude of the Mosaic Law. I'll show you this right here. Look in verse 17 of chapter 12, and if something is not more evident, we understand Israel, it's speaking of Israel, verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, that's the nation of Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that's the remnant of Israel. Now watch this. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now what is that? If there's any other verse in all the 22 chapters of Revelation that is more clear on what salvation is based upon in the tribulation period, then I challenge you to find it. It doesn't get any clearer than this. That word "and" is a conjunction. We remember Schoolhouse Rock when we were little kids, the little 20 to 30 second educational program that came on Saturday mornings. The conjunction function, what's your function? Conjunction junction, what's your function? And it was about conjunctions and grammar. And they had the picture of the cartoon, they had little trains, and the little train would back up and it would catch an and it would hook on, and it would go here, and it would back up on this track, and it would catch the rest of the train, and they would go off making a complete sentence. When the word "and" is in there, it means that the two parts are combined and you must have both of them. This remnant here in verse 17, number one, keep the commandments of God. That's a work. That's all there is. That is a work, 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 work. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So it's a faith and works-based salvation during the tribulation period. So life in the tribulation period, or salvation, I should say, if someone is so fortunate to be part of the minuscule remnant that will be left after the slaughter of what is going to occur during that period of time, the massacre of people left and right, is going to be based on faith and work. Life is obtained by and through such of a Mosaic type law, a Mosaic law. Life in the millennial kingdom. Guys, if you want to jot this down, this will help you. Life in the millennial kingdom is under the Sermon of the Mount, which we will essentially make the Mosaic Law look like a liberal constitution. It will look like a daycare center, is what the sermon. So when you read the Sermon on the Mount, and you read the words that Jesus Christ is speaking unto His people, and He is saying, and when He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are this." But all of that is millennial kingdom based. That is how someone maintains their salvation. They maintain their life through that 1,000-year reign. I was reading, I'm confused now. I don't know if it was, I've had so many meetings already and opportunities, but someone this week, it was either by text, I don't know if it was by text here or if it was in a coffee house this week, brought up the fact of someone said, I've heard there's an admonition in the Bible to call no one fool, okay? And it's in the Holy Scripture, and so we were going back and forth. I said, it's true, however, the Bible says that the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. So if somebody denies that there is a God, the Bible decrees them a fool. But the Bible also says he that calls someone a fool is in danger of hell fire, correct? Here's the issue. That scripture that is in the book of Matthew is millennial kingdom description, okay? So, if you call someone a fool in the millennial kingdom, instantaneously with that rod of iron we read about in Revelation 12, will be judged in danger of hell fire. Why is that? The same reason why a person, if they were to come in the millennial kingdom and say, hey, the Messiah is coming. He's coming tomorrow. They will be taken out by their parents and beaten or stoned to death. Okay? And the judgment will be upon them. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ will already be on the earth, number one. He will be evident to everybody on the earth at that time. Everyone will know He's there. So when someone says the Messiah is coming, there they are to be judged and stoned to death. If someone calls someone a fool in the millennial kingdom, they're saying you're calling them someone who says there is no God, while the God is sitting on the throne over there and everybody knows it. You follow me? So it's a bad judgment. It's a bad time. So you know, it's a great time. I don't want to make it, the millennial kingdom is a joyful time. Don't get me wrong. The sin curse is lifted from the earth. It's a beautiful time. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. It's a tremendous time. However, the law of life in the millennial kingdom is and will be the Sermon on the Mount. So, chapter 12. It's a highly controversial chapter. It's chosen for the right reason. It is chosen to be where it should be. Chapter 12 is a midpoint of the midweek of 7 years. Of the 70th week of the tribulation period. And so we're going to go over just a few things. I'm going to take just a few minutes tonight and go over maybe just verse 1 so that you have the understanding and the idea of who the characters are in Revelation chapter 12, and then we're going to close it. Promise, probably won't take more than 5 minutes of where we are right now because of what we've already reviewed and established this evening. Revelation chapter 12 verse 1 says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven." This is the first wonder that we're going to look at. "A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." This woman, and you can write this down in ink so that you don't ever have to worry about erasing it. This woman is Israel. This first wonder, the woman that is seen here, it is Israel. It is not the church, and it is not Mary. As the Catholic Church teaches, they teach that this is Mary. It is not. There is no. It's not even remotely correct or even to think that. It can't be the church simply because of what we read in verse 17 a moment ago, that we find that this remnant of the seed of the woman, they have to have the commandments of God and the testimony of Christ. So, you know, we have to have the testimony of Christ to be saved. Okay? There's no work whatsoever that's going to get us to heaven, just a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior today, as the church. It's a faith plus work salvation during this period of time. So that completely rules out that this woman, this first woman, can be anybody else other than the nation of Israel. Okay? Now, the church today is under the law of liberty. We know that. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." The church is given new commandments. It's not the Ten Commandments. We read about them in John 14. "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and I will manifest myself in him." Jesus Christ said in John 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Those are not the commandments spoken of here, Revelation chapter 12. So we as the church are under a different dispensation, under grace, and therefore this woman is not the church. So we've already mentioned this. Revelation 12 is the midpoint of the tribulation period. It's the time that's called the Great Tribulation, the latter 3.5 years, the great persecution against Israel. Jesus Christ came to Israel. Other scriptures that we know that depict that, Matthew 24, Jeremiah 30, Daniel 12, Isaiah 9. You don't need to turn there or write those down if you want. If you wanted to get those off the audio, that's fine. I want to establish the point here that this woman here, Revelation 12:1, is Israel. Turn to your Bibles, if we will, just real quick, and look over to Genesis chapter 37 real quick. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, and just two verses there, verse 9 and 10. We're going to touch on these on Sunday morning as the Lord has finally given me liberty to preach on Joseph. Joseph's devoted faith is what we'll be hearing this coming Sunday morning. And it's amazing. I tried all week last week trying to get that message on Joseph, and I couldn't get anywhere. And I sat down yesterday. Typically, I have about 20 hours into one sermon. And I sat down yesterday, and about 2.5 hours, I think it was, and had the whole sermon ready to go in its rough format. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for that. Revelation 37, verse 9, the Bible says, and he dreamed yet another dream, speaking of Joseph, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this that dream, or what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Now, Joseph's dream was the sun, which is Jacob, or Israel, his father. It's a picture of Israel, his father. The moon is Rachel, his mother. The 11 stars, obviously, was his brothers. Joseph was number 11, but remember, Benjamin, the youngest, is number 12. The 11 stars are his brethren. But you see, nowhere in Scripture does this match up. It doesn't match up anywhere under the sun. It doesn't match up it being anyone else or anything else other than what it exactly is. So, when we look at Revelation, when we understand that his brethren did bow down to him, didn't they? They bowed down to him when they came to Egypt, when he was yet 39 years old. They threw him in a pit when he was 17. And now, when he was 39, they came to Egypt to get the corn. So nowhere in Scripture else in Scripture does this line up, does it match up at all. But the confirmation of the woman being Israel is Genesis 37, verses 9 through 10, ties beautifully here with what we see with the moon under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So, we know that to be clear, that this woman is Israel. We know Isaiah 7:14, unto us a child is born. And that is us, is the nation of Israel. So we know that's not Mary or anything along that line. Look in verse 2 with me real quick. This will be the final verse that we look at. Verse 2 says, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. She had a child. Who is that child? Who is it? This is where it's easy to say, well, this has to be Mary. It has to be her. The child is the Messiah. The child is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand that. But who is in pains travailing to be delivered, to bring forth that child? Well, it's the nation of Israel. Look over in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 with me just real quick. Romans chapter 9. Again, Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. That's clear enough. Out of her, the woman who is Israel, this child is going to be born. After centuries of travail came this Christ child, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and are whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Speaking of the Israelites, speaking of the nation of Israel. So clearly we can see here, I think quite easily tonight, in the verses that we've seen thus far. We only looked at two of them, I understand, but we saw quite a bit front end as a way of introduction tonight, that the first two characters, this first wonder that I want you to see, number one, this woman is the nation of Israel who brought forth the Messiah, unto us a child is born, and that child, of course, is the Messiah and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we get through the rest of the chapter, it'll be more clear. It'll be self-evident that this is actually the nation of Israel, the chosen nation of God. And so we can understand that clearly here tonight. We'll get into the second wonder, this old dragon here. We'll get into him next week. Father, we thank you again for the night. We thank you for the Bible study. Pray you be with us during our prayer meeting to follow now. Watch over each and every one of us. Forgive us where we have failed you, Lord. We give you honor, glory, and praise for everything that will transpire, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.